Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
We have spent a little bit of time in Revelation, and I would like to go back there just for a while this morning in Revelation chapter 9. And then from there, we're going to go over to Joel chapter 2. And spend a little bit of time there and see some of the things that are coming someday. And I want to tell you this morning before I get started, though, that even though we had all the food we could eat this past weekend, the last couple of weeks have not been good weeks. I mean, we've had a lot of ups and downs. And I'm telling you, I looked at this sandwich down there at that place, and I bit into it, and I broke one of my teeth. So I would smile real big this morning, but you guys, if I smiled, you'd know I was from West Virginia. And I'm not going to do it. Whenever you look at Revelation chapter 9 and Joel chapter 2 this morning, we'll see things that's going to take place upon this earth, and it is literally a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have real nightmares. I can't think of too many over the years where I've had these nightmares that are dreams and stuff like that. But I have shared with you in the past that Karen does. And whenever she gets up, sometimes she'll tell me, you know, I had this dream last night. I'm thinking, boy, I'm in for a ride this morning. And then she begins to tell me about this dream she had. And I'm thinking, man, where did that come from? That was a nightmare. There's a movie out there, and it's called People Under the Stairs. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I haven't seen it, all right? I don't know anything about it. But this is a true story that I'm telling you this morning. Is Karen had a dream years back because of where the apartment that she lived in. She would have to go out the back door, come down these stairs in the apartment, and then she would come into the back of the restaurant where she worked, and she had a dream about people under the stairs in that back room, and she was always scared to go down these stairs in that back room. And as a result of that, she actually wrote a book, and it was the title of it, the book that she wrote was People Under the Stairs. And so she submitted that book to be published, and this had been years ago, and we never heard from them. We never had no copyrights on her, anything like that. And then one day, this movie comes out, People Under the Stairs. I told her, I said, I wonder what that movie's going to be like. And so we got just a little bit of information on it, and it was based upon that nightmare that she had. So I'm thinking, I can't, you know, you can't prove it or nothing, but I think that based upon that nightmare she had. Well, this nightmare is coming up on this planet in the near future. But here's the good news. And if you want to find out what the good news is, I'm going to give you a chapter in the Bible to read and read it sometimes and spend a lot of time there because it's the good news. And the good news is for you and me that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Read that. That's where you and I are in all of this. If the Lord tarries, there's coming a day whenever you and I will eventually come to the end of our lives. And it's like Billy Graham said, they'll say something like, you know, Billy Graham said this. He said, you know, if someone ever tells you that Billy Graham died and that Billy Graham is dead, he said, don't believe a word of it. He said, because it's a lie. And he said, reason it's a lie, he said, because Billy Graham has never been more alive in his life than he was at that moment because he entered into the presence of the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians 15, it expounds upon that. And 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, expounds upon that. And then from that point on, we go beyond that. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Something that happens beyond that, the nightmare. And in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, it said, And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green things, neither any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And that verse right there will give you a little bit of hint that these locusts that are coming upon the earth, or this event, these are unique creatures. Because I don't know about you, but I hate locusts. And I've seen a few of them in my life. And from my understanding, locusts will eat anything green. And these are specifically told not to eat anything green. They're commanded. There's intelligence in these individuals, and they do as they're told. Now, they're to torment anyone that doesn't have the seal of God upon them. And if you're familiar with Revelation at all, you'll know that prior to this chapter, there's 144,000 that have been sealed from the nations of Israel. And those are the ones that they're not allowed to harm nor touch. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad for 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and for the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, because it tells what's going on in our life, and we're gone. We're out of here. We will not see this event from this side of the grave. But the event is that this is taking place. Now, a lot of if you try to describe these individuals, and John's going to do that. And as he tries to describe these, he doesn't give a size to them. And as a result of it, now, if you go down into West Virginia, there are certain times of year, what is it, every 17 years or so, the locusts that comes out and all these different little creatures. And I don't know about you, but if you're down in West Virginia during the year that these things come out, I mean, they don't even bite as far as I know. And to me, it's a nightmare. I don't know about you. I don't like bugs. And my daughter lived down in Florida, and nothing against Florida, don't get me wrong, but my daughter lived in Florida, and we'd go down there and spend weeks down there every year, a couple weeks, free rent. And we'd go down there and spend a couple weeks, and I am telling you, I know some of you might not have seen these bugs, but I've seen bugs down there that I didn't like at all. Let me just tell you a real story. One bug come in. My daughter was moving back to Ohio, and I was glad because I wasn't going back to Florida again. And I know some of you like it. Don't take this personal. But we were packing up to bring her to Ohio, and as we were packing it up, this bug come in through the door and was going across her floor. And I thought, well, I'm not going to mess with that bug. You know, I just leave it alone. And then I'm thinking, well, if I don't deal with that bug, I'm going to grab me a box. I'm going to pick that box up, and that bug's going to be underneath that box. So I'm going to kill that thing now, and I won't have to deal with it later. And so I go over there, and listen, no story. I mean, no kidding. I go over there for that bug, that, and I stomp on that thing. I didn't kill it. And I weighed 200 and some pounds, and I didn't hurt that bug. And so I tried again, and I didn't hurt it. And I don't know what kind of bug this was, all right? So you all might know, some of you. So my daughter, I looked at her and I said, well, look at that. I tried to kill this bug and I couldn't kill that thing. And I said, well, what's that all about? And she said, well, it's a certain type of bug and it's got some kind of armor and blah, 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 and this type of thing. And I'm thinking, all right, that's another reason not to go to Florida. Bugs you can't kill. And seeing how I'm talking about bugs, I got to tell you this one, and I know I've shared this one with you before, but it's worth repeating for you that will go to Florida. And I don't know if I should do this or not. If anybody's from Florida, I'll probably get in trouble. But anyhow, we were coming out of Florida, And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I told Karen, I said, you know, I'm getting low on gas. I'm gonna pull in fill station down here and I'm gonna get some gas someplace. Because I always like to travel at night. And we pulled into the fill station, and I get out of the car to pump gas into my tank. And I'm telling you this true story, and I'm not exaggerating a bit. Well, these bugs were going everywhere on that hard top at 2 o'clock in the morning. These little bugs, big bugs. Some of you are familiar with those things, aren't you? Well, listen, I thought this one was heading towards me, and I'm serious. I went like this, and I'm serious. That bug goes like this. Doesn't run. It just draws up on its hind legs and looks at me like this. And that thing, I'm thinking, it thinks it can take me. Like that. Well, listen, you think that's a nightmare on that type of stuff? Here they are. And some of them say these little bugs, these locusts that is here. If you study on this, you'll find some of them say, well, they're this size, and others say, no, they're this size. And they give all different sizes. Personally, I think they're small, all right? And the reason I believe that is because Joel's going to make a statement on them later if we get there, all right? These are what's coming up on the earth. Now, if you study down thinking, you'll find out that they're not just bugs, they're unique bugs, and they're actually demonic. That's happening here. And let me just say to you this, is that if you'll notice verse 1, it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, meaning that this individual star, him, and it's using pronoun and so on and so forth, that it's someone that is coming to the earth, and it's kind of like, and you can study on this, and you get all different types of thoughts on it, but it's kind of like somebody who at one time was given the power to do a lot of different things, all right? And now, as a result of the power that he did have to do these things in the spiritual realm, now he's been confined to just the physical realm, and he's going to do all the damage he can do. And that's what's taking place here. And I heard someone try years back, he tried to explain it. It's kind of like if you, anybody here in this room have ever been to the zoo, you see these lions in the cage. And I thank God they're in cages and that type of thing. And I'm okay as long as he's in the cage. I'll look at him all day long. But if you open that cage up, I'm gone, you know, because those things are mean. And can be mean because they're out to get whatever they can get. This, what is taking place here, is something that had the power to do specific things in the spiritual realm. Now they've been limited and set free to do things in the physical realm, and they're going to do it. And one of the reasons that Satan is going to do this. And listen, we don't have, and like I said, people say, well, let's go to Revelation, let's talk about Revelation. One of the things about Revelation is just to spend in chapter 9 of Revelation would take years expounding upon all that is actually taking place here and try to get us to relate to it and understand what's happening here. But Satan is going to do all he can do and do all the damage he can do to this creation of God for certain reasons. Number one, he hates God. He hates God's men and women. He hates God's creation, the crowning achievement of God's creation. He wants to destroy it, and he's having an opportunity to do it, and he only has a short time to do it in. And now he's going to do it, and we see it coming to fruition. But here's the unique thing about this as you study this, and is that God's not doing this without telling the world that he's going to do it. You understand that? Some people say, why would God do that? Why would God be so mean? Why would God allow all this to happen? Well, God is allowing it to happen. And we discussed that a while back, because whenever you come to the end of it, and even Joel says it, the reason that God does this is that he wants men to come to know him and women to come to know him, because he says, if I put you, if I allow you to go through this type of torment and you come to know me, it's better than going off into eternity without me. And so I'll do whatever I can do to get your attention. And mankind still did not want to acknowledge God here. Interesting, isn't it, that we can do that? And God said, hey, that's coming. If you've ever been down in West Virginia, which I like to talk about a lot, and some of you know that, at night it's dark down there. It's dark. If the moon isn't shining or if it's cloudy and you're out there in the woods, you're going to have a hard time getting around down there. It's dark. And I had a buddy of mine. We were a bunch of kids back on the road in West Virginia. And we were out one night, and it was dark. We were riding on a bike. And we were looking ahead of us on that country road. And this one headlight was coming at us, you know, that country road. And we don't have two lanes down there. You only have one lane where we're from. And as we were looking down through there, we saw this one headlight coming at us. And one of our buddies, there was like four of us, one buddy was out in the middle of the road, and we were hollering at him, get out of the road, get out of the road. He had nothing to worry about. He said, it's a motorcycle. We knew better than that. Because there were not that many motorcycles in West Virginia, not back then. There's more cars. And we just thought, us, the three of us off to the side of the road, we're saying, no, man, that's a car with a headlight out. And he said, and he kept hauling, no, it's a, I'm pretty sure it's a motorcycle. And we kept hauling, no, we're pretty sure it's a car, and you better get out of the road. And so finally he got off to the side of the road with us, and that car goes right by one headlight. And we told him, we told you. And I said that for this reason. Folks, there's something coming. There's a light ahead of us. And God says to his people, I want you to know this, and it will not take you by surprise. But humanity, with all the warnings and all the signal that's coming from God, they still ignore it. Can you see all the corruption in the world today? I'll be honest with you. Somebody, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but somebody tells me something today, it almost like I don't know if I believe you at all. But I'll tell you this much, and don't take this bad. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican. If a politician tells me something down there, I don't believe it at all. I mean, that's just me. I've come to the point where I believe they will tell me anything and everything, and they will, and just for their own benefit, and they don't really concern about us, all right? So there's a lot of things taking place behind the scene that you and I don't even know about, and we can see in the world and see all this taking place. And folks, listen, there's something coming. There's something coming, and this is it. And God says, you know it. You know it. I have talked to guys who are unsaved, don't know Jesus, will laugh at you if you talk biblically, but in their hearts, whenever you get them off to the side for a moment and you begin to talk with them, they will tell you, man, this ain't going to end good. This is not going to end well. They seem to know in their hearts something coming. Now, Jesus says to you and me as Christians, he said, listen, I don't leave you in the dark. He said, I'm telling you. He said, because you're my friends, I'm going to let you know what's happening. Folks, listen. He's letting us know what happened, not only in his word, but he's letting us know in the world. I hate to say this, but I might have to make this a two-parter too. Like I said, Revelation can go on and on. There's just so much. If you ever listen to the or read through the book of Job, and we were talking to some people this over the weekend, they said something about how they were in the book of Job and read the book of Job, and some of the things in the book of Job don't make sense and stuff like that. And a lot of things in the book of Job, we have a hard time understanding. And that's true. But the one good thing about, and I'm sure I'll share a verse or two from Job, but not to turn you there, but I just share it with you. But one thing that Job did say this, he said, you know, I went through the trials of life, or he said, I had had people tell me about how great God is. My fathers, my grandfathers, and my ancestors told me about how great God is. He says, I knew about God. And most of us in this room knows about God. We know God, hopefully. But he said, but I really never knew you until I went through all these experiences of life. He said, then maybe come to after you went through all that he went through. He said, Lord, he said, I heard about you. He said, but I know you now. And Karen and I were very young that we came to know Christ as our Savior. And people used to tell us about God when we were young. And now we, you know, at first by faith, we're going to live in this relationship with God. And we know that God is real. And by faith, we're just going to accept it. No, we didn't have the experience. And now that we're old and we've lived life, we look back and say, well, God, they told us about you before, but now because of all the experience that we've had with you through all of our lives, we know you are real. Not only to your word, but in our spirit, in your creation, in the world around us, you are actively busy revealing yourself. But in one part of Job, the Lord came to Job and he said this to Job. I'll read the verse. He says, have the gates of Sheol been opened unto thee? He said, have the gates of Sheol been opened to you? He asked Job that. Or hast thou seen the door of the shadow of death? An interesting verse, isn't it? Let me read that to you again. God asked Job, he said, Job, he says, have the gates of Sheol been opened unto thee? Otherwise, what he asked Job is, he said, Job, let me ask you, he said, have you ever looked into hell? Have you ever looked into hell? Have you actually seen it? Or, he said, has thou seen the door of the shadow of death? And you can look in Psalms 23, talking about the shadow of death. And most of the time you have to say, well, the only way I can actually know that I've looked into the door, not necessarily I've seen the doors of the shadow of death, is you have to know that you have had to live your life. You had to have been through some trials. You've had to have been through some tribulation, because the shadow of death is not death. It's just the shadow of death. I mean, you went through some valleys. All right, you with me? And so what he's asking Job is, have you looked into hell? Or have you seen death? Do you know what it's all about? And Job looked at him that early on, probably said no. But maybe later on, he would say, yes, Lord, I've looked, I see. Well, let me tell you something this morning, right? Whenever you read Revelation 9 and you see the things that's taking place, then you're looking in the gates of hell, because this pit had been opened up and the demonic beings are coming out of it and people are seeing it. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Torment. Man, I haven't even got to my points yet. The torment. Life, I don't know about you, but life is, you can, I don't care if you just live life, you'll find out that in life you will be tormented, right? I mean, have you ever dealt with depression? Anybody, I'm just kind of curious. Dealt with depression a little bit? Never dealt with depression? I was one of those persons, I never dealt with depression in my whole life until I was about 33 years old. And I think I've shared, if I got sick, hurt on the job, was laid up, and man, I got depressed. Ew. Man, I finally come out of that depression about a year later. I got my physically got healed. And I looked at God at the end of that, and I told Karen, I said, man, I don't know how in the world you tolerated me for that whole year being in this situation. Because I looked at her, stay with me, okay? I looked at her and I said, man, I'm dying. I've got to be dying. When she looked at me, she said, "Oh, you ain't dying." Well, it helped me none. I guess I wanted her to be like Job twice, say, "Won't you just curse God and die?" But anyhow, she says, "No, you're not dying. You're okay. Everything's fine." I'm thinking, no, in me it is not. And after I went through that at a year, the only thing that really kept me going through that whole year of that terrible depression, and that's the last time I experienced it, was that I could see just at the end of that tunnel there was a little bit of a light, and that God wasn't going to leave me here. Either he was going to kill me and take me home and I was going to be okay, or he's going to make everything okay. But somehow this was going to come to an end. And God kept telling me in my heart this would end. And Karen kept telling me, it'll end. She said, "If it doesn't end soon, I'll kill you." Torment. Life can be a place of torment. This is torment. There's no relief. Notice what it says there. And to them, verse 5, and then I'll get to the end of this. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. In those days shall men seek death. Now notice what it says. The men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Meaning that they are going to be in such a torment, it's going to be so bad that I think that they will actually try to kill themselves. And so that will bring me to another little story I have to share. And I think this is why God brought me to the point of depression in my life, right? At that time, if you can stay with me for another minute, it's because there's one guy that I knew prior to my getting hurt and getting sick and experiencing depression. Is this one guy, he was a Christian guy, and he actually committed suicide. I know. And someone said to me one day, "Do you think he was a Christian?" He says he's a Christian, but he killed himself. And what he did is his wife had left him, took his kids, took everything he had, and he was probably in his 40s, and he just didn't know how to deal with it. And he goes home one day, and he gets a gun. He goes to where his wife's at in the apartment with this other person, and she opens the door up, and he just shoots himself. And they asked me, you think he was a Christian? I said, "Well, no, I don't think he's a Christian." I said, "If you don't think he's a Christian, I don't think a Christian would do something like that." I said that prior to going through the experience I went through. And once I went through the experience that I went through, God came to me and he said, "Listen, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And the lesson I'm going to teach you is you don't make a judgment call on somebody else until you walked in their shoes. And then you make the call on it." Amen? And whenever I came to the end of my suffering and I looked back over it, I said, "God, I understand now. You taught me a very valuable lesson." Because there were several times while I was dealing with this affliction that I had actually thought, "Well, I'd be better off dead than be like this." You know, it went through my head, but God wasn't going to allow it. And it wasn't meant to be. But, I mean, I thought it. And, folks, I'm sure there's other people in this room who at times in your life you might have thought about taking your life or something. I don't recommend it. But I'm telling you, we thought it. Right? Amen? We've been there. Well, these individuals are in such torment that they try to take their lives and cannot do it. It says there, it says, "In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." And then it begins to give you a description of these beasts that are up on the planet at that time. And he goes down through there. And let me just close with verse 11, all right? Verse 11. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, you have Satan, and then you have the Antichrist involved in this. And together, they have a name, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Now, both of these words means the same thing, all right, to an extent. It just deviates just a little bit. But what it means is, it's just total, now listen, it's total destruction. That's what it is. And if you see this event taking place, it's total destruction. Now, I don't want to close it with that. I thought I would, but I want to take you down to verse 20. And I wish you would be willing to stay with me all day long, because, man, we could really have some fun with this, all right? But in verse 21, it says, verse 20 says, and the rest of the men which were not killed, now this is going unto the sixth trumpet angel sound, and then this is in the sixth. Now these beasts were given permission to kill. With the first one, they were not permitted to kill. Now they're permitted to kill. And verse 20 said, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repentest not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murder nor of their sorcery nor of their fornication nor of their theft. Then they wouldn't repent. Man, I'm thinking, I'm telling you, if I'm doing something bad sometimes, and I'm not going to tell you what it might be, but if I'm doing something bad sometimes and Karen comes to me and she's got this specific look on her face, she said, you quit doing it. I repent. I'm a fast learner. And it doesn't take me long. Here, these individuals don't learn. Why? Because their heart is so far from God. Yeah, they can't. The devil has got them. They love all the things that they do. You know, I see some older people in politicians, and I don't want to spend any time here, all right? But I see older people who are politicians, and you could see, and I see it in life too, but I see that they're in it just for money, you know? And I'm thinking, the end of this ain't going to end well for you. Why don't you just repent and do the right thing, because you know you're going to have to stand account to God. And with that, I will close with this story. This old guy, he was about 85 years old, and I remember his name well. His name was Cecil. All right? Stay with me. I'm at the end of this. His name was Cecil. And I probably shared this with you already, but I'm going to do it again. And it's like that guy said at one of his sermons at the meeting we had, said, if I'm sharing with you again and you've heard it before, it must be because you need it. But as he was, we went to his house, me and Carl Klein went to his house, and we were talking to him about Jesus. He's 85 years old or so, and he's an old man like, you know, like me. And we tell him about Jesus, and he tells us there, and I remember, I don't know how many times we've been to his house sharing with him about Jesus and what God can do and stuff like that. And I remember the last time he was sitting on his porch at his house, beautiful house, sitting on the porch there, and we were sharing with him about Jesus, and we got ready to leave, and we asked him, Cecil, would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Cecil said, no, I wouldn't want to do that. And we asked him, why would you not want to receive Jesus? He said, I got too much to give up. Too much to give up. Man, you're 85 years old. You got more days behind you than you got in front of you. You know what I'm saying? What do you have to give up? And that's where we left him. No, I got too much to give up. And Carl and I would puzzle. What would he have to give up? All that God has to offer, and you haven't got anything to give to God, but you're afraid to give it up. The good news is he was in his deathbed. He was really dying, and he was in the hospital. And Jane, a lady of our church, Oberdorf, went to visit him there. And she said to him, Cecil, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? And Cecil said, no. And the doctor had already told him, you don't got much time left. And he said, no. And Jane said, why would you not want to receive Jesus now? And he said, well, I got too much to give up. Seriously. Too much to give up. And she looked at him. She was point blank with him, not like me and Carl. But she was point blank and she said, listen, you don't got nothing to give up now. Your time's run out. You're going home. You're going, faith God. You know, this is what the doctor said. This is where you're at. You don't have anything to give up. You're bankrupt. And Cecil made a decision to receive Jesus that day. Amen. Here's the only thing I can say with that, and then we'll close in prayer. There's a verse in the Bible that says this. It says, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine in their hearts and they would believe. Minds been blinded. Even in that situation that we just read about, their minds still been blind. Amen. People today are blind. It's coming. It's coming. And God is saying, I'm here. Come to me. Oh, if you're thirsting, come. Come to me. Because I got so much to offer. Amen. Stand with me at this point as we close. Father, this morning, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we have in your son, Jesus, and the work that he accomplished on Calvary's cross one day for us. Thank you, Father, that your spirit came to us and illuminated our hearts and our minds one day. And we invited Jesus to come into our hearts. And as a result of that, you brought life and light into our hearts. This morning, Father, as we close this service with this song of invitation, we would always say that the altar is open to anyone that has a need, whether just to pray, just to talk with you, to spend time with you, whatever it might be. This is your time. And we just thank you, Father, that your spirit is here this morning, moving and just sharing you with us and speaking to our hearts. And we thank you, we love you, and we just praise you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Please turn to number 4.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website